Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I'm your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me, as always, is Motorsport.com's global MotoGP editor, Oriol Puigdemont, and the Aragon Grand Prix is in the books. We have our eighth different winner of this manic 2020 season, Alex Rins on the Suzuki. Alex Marquez, second, dry podium. Joan Mir takes the lead in the championship. Fabio Quartararo finishes without points. Yuri, I don't know if my body can take any more of this drama.
No, let's speak about the next weekend. I mean, the last weekend is done, and I'm tired to talk about it. Yeah, it was a really exciting race with so much going on, and yeah, I mean, we have always something to talk about, which is really good.
Yeah.
But maybe a bit too much. So yeah, we only have like between 25 to 30 minutes, and maybe, we cannot concentrate so many things. But yeah, we'll try.
Yeah, for sure. I tell you what, I die a little bit inside whenever we get the schedule for the following race. Literally 20 minutes after this race is finished, it's too much. But yeah, this race, there's so much to talk about, and I don't know where to start. So let's talk. Let's start with Alex Rins, because I think if you look at the results this year for Alex Rins, on paper, it looks like he's underachieved, but that does not tell the full story whatsoever, because this is a guy that had quite a big injury and he struggled with it for a long time. This is a guy that could have won in Austria before he crashed. He was running second at Le Mans before he crashed. The pace has always been there for Alex Rins, but I think Joan Mir, his performances have overshadowed that a bit, as well as his injury. And this race was just total vindication of how good a rider we know Alex is.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the best description I possibly can find for Alex Rins' race was the perfect race. Mm. I mean, starting from the 10th on the grid, I mean, making the best start possible, being in front really fast, really quick, and then from then on, manage the race in front, trying to don't stress the tires too much. And yeah, it was the perfect race. I mean, for me, it was the perfect race, considering all the circumstances, what kind of work these tires require. And it went really well for him.
I thought what was telling was what Franco Morbidelli said to us after the race. He said, the way the Suzuki worked in the early part of the race, everyone should be worried about that, because normally the Suzuki, it takes 6-7 laps to warm up the tires, to get into a groove, and then it comes on really strong. But like you say, Rins was 10th to 4th on the first lap, and the pace was so quick throughout. Going into this next Aragon race, it's hard to see Alex Rins not being one of the favourites straight away, because the pace there was incredible. The pace for Joan was good as well until the last few laps. The Suzuki is now working in all throughout the race, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, it's not new that if you ask to most of the riders from the grid, they say that is the most balanced bike on the grid there at the moment. So yeah, I mean, for both riders, because Alex Rins is not that far from the from the but yeah, again, what Joan did the other day was the perfect race. I mean, he maximized his pass for that race. I mean, considering that he had much more to lose than to win if he was attacking. So yeah, I think it was perfect for him.
Yeah, everything fell into place for Juan. Of course, there was the front tire problem for Fabio Quartararo. He went for the medium front tire, which he hadn't done all weekend, but the temperatures were warmer, and for the first laps it seemed to work all right. And then the tire pressure, he said it went out of control, and that just dropped him down the order. A strange one, whether it was a team issue, a tire issue. Was he right to make that decision? It's a hard one.
Yeah, I think I would refer to one of Maverick's quotes after the race. He said, when we try to explore new ways, we always get lost. So in a way, I think that's what happened to Fabio and Fabio's team, because yeah, probably we had the highest temperature of all the weekend during the race. So it was, let's say, that moment when you have to decide. And it's obvious that they made the wrong choice, but it's very easy to talk afterward. I mean, yeah. I'm very brave now, you know, in front of the microphone.
Yeah.
But of course, this is MotoGP, and that's why they are having more experience every day and every race. So for sure, they will all learn from that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's hard to blame Fabio for that choice, because he was struggling with tire wear the whole weekend. And actually, in the warm up session, there was an interesting.
Yeah, he was very upset.
Yeah, he looked over at Maverick's tire and he slammed his thigh. He just couldn't understand why Maverick's tire was so good. So Fabio, you can't blame him for trying something different. You know, you can easily go, he's got the championship, he needs to think about that. But you know, there was no guarantee he was going to finish top 5-6 with the soft front tire. He might have fallen behind Dovi anyway. So in that situation, when you don't have the pace, sometimes a risk is worth taking, even if you are fighting for a championship.
Yeah, but I mean, it was after the warm-up, because before the warm-up, he was one of the favorites, despite his huge crash on Saturday. I mean, he was one of the favorites. So, I think it was a very bad Sunday for him. And now I think he's starting to feel the pressure. I told you, I think it was the last podcast but I can feel that Fabio's way on managing the pressure is a bit, I think he's struggling a bit saying and on, yeah, acting like one guy managing or leading the championship needs to act.
Yeah, it's interesting. He was asked about the championship. He was asked, is it good that Rins and Petrucci are winning races? And he said, well, yeah, for sure, that's fine, but we need better results. But the pressure's not on me in the championship, it's on the factory guys, which is interesting. He's always been
I wouldn't say interesting. I think at this point, the pressure is on him. Same as Maverick. I mean, he has a factory bike. He has a factory contract for next year. The only different thing is the colors on the bike. And don't forget one thing. I don't see the team owners very happy after this comment.
Yeah. He talked about the team being, it's a brand new team. It was born last year. But they know they can win the championship. They know they can win races. Fabio is capable of it. But he needs, I think you are right that he's managing the pressure in a different way, especially when you compare it to Juan. You know, I asked him in the press conference, you know, do you feel like more the favorite because you've been more consistent? He said, yeah, sure, we're consistent, but I'm still taking. More riders care about the championship than he does right now, or they care about it a bit harder than he does. He's still taking it race by race, and that to me is he's managing that pressure a little bit better.
Yeah, that's why I say what I say. I mean, you can. I don't know why, but I think that Joan is saying what he has to say in the right moment and the right timing, you know? So, and he's behaving like a real champion. I mean, he's not taking the pressure off at any moment. He's just saying, listen, if we keep going like this, podium, and two races to go until the end, then I will start to make my calculations. But until then, I want to race. I want to race and I want to win a race, which is, I think that's why after the race on Sunday, he was a bit frustrated. But I think that with the hours, a few hours later, he was less frustrated because he was, you know, looking at the championship stats. So, whoa, I'm P1. I'm the leader. So, but at the same time, he was a bit frustrated because, of course, he wanted to win a race. And to me, I think he felt that last Sunday was the day for trying to fight for the win.
Yeah, it looked like everything was in his favor. The pace was good in practice. He qualified higher up the grid, which was crucial, but it just never quite materialized. And I think it's interesting that Rins has taken Suzuki's first win this season instead of Mir, which I think a lot of people thought would be the other way around.
So, yeah, but I mean, otherwise would have been Alex.
Yeah.
Marquez, I mean.
Yeah. Well, hold that thought on Alex Marquez. We'll get to him in a second. Let's just wrap up the championship. I know, even though he's lost 6 points, well, he's lost 16 points essentially, but that's the turnaround Quartararo from Le Mans to now 6 points behind Mir. I still think there is still this part of me, and maybe it's just because I'm really stupid, I don't know, but there's still this part of me that thinks Fabio is still a little bit the favourite for the championship, but it's going to depend on what happens, how he bounces back this weekend. If he doesn't,
exactly, I mean,
if this weekend isn't a great race or he doesn't do what he needs to do, then that's, as far as I'm concerned, I think that'll be championship over.
Well, I wouldn't say that because, I mean, Valencia, you know, is a very small track with so many people going fast there. But yeah, I think it will be much more difficult for him to recover the gap, especially if he doesn't finish in a, let's say, yeah, good position. I mean, top three, top five. He needs to come back.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah. Well, I say, obviously, you can't say anything's over in this championship because, you know, there's only 39 points covering 8 riders or something like that. But, yeah, if you consider the fact that it would get to the 3 races and if Fabio has another bad race in Aragon, then I think, like you've been saying with the pressure management, it'll just get on top of him a bit too much. And yes, Valencia is a good circuit for him, but I think in that instance, he would think it's a good circuit, so he needs to push even harder, and that's when a mistake would happen. So, but it's this. Aragon 2 is going to be a very, very, probably the most interesting race of this championship, I think.
Yeah, I think can be the key point of the championship. I think in Aragon 2 can be the key point of the championship. And then from then on, maybe we will have a more clear idea about who is playing which role in this championship. And then let's see, because if at some point somebody will have to fall down from this title fight. So we still have more of them, but we have many riders in the title hunt because of the different results we've had. From now on, I think we will have a more clear direction about where the championship and who the champion can be.
Yeah, it's hard to rule out anyone. I think Maverick, he got a little bit stronger for me in my title sort of predictions after Aragon, because yes, he was fourth, but the weekend was a lot better. the tire wear was unexpected, but you seem to have kind of found that issue. And after the race, he talked about, like you said there, when they focus on their problems, they get lost. But now he's just going to focus on the strong point. So if they can do that in Aragon, I think Maverick's, he's gotten a little bit stronger in this title hunt, I think.
Yeah, well, I agree that maybe he has more confidence after last race, after the race one in Aragon, because I mean, don't forget that he's been the first Yamaha on the standing. So, which considering that the other Yamahas were struggling quite a lot, is good news for him. So if he can keep being the first Yamaha, it will be good news. I mean, don't forget that after Aragon, if he can, limit the damage again, which being fourth in a race like Aragon, it is quite good on limiting the damage. So if he can do it again next weekend, we're heading to Valencia, and Valencia is really good track for Yamaha and for him as well. So I think he will be even closer.
Yeah, I think if I remember rightly, he was fastest in the test there back in November. Probably he's always fast in the test. But on there's one title, the one title rival I still can't believe is a title rival right now is Andrea Dovizioso. Because, I mean, let's face it, the performances haven't been good enough. But part of that is down to the bike. But at the same point, a rider like Dovizioso, you would expect a bit more from him. He was seventh in Aragon. He didn't get through Q1. And yet he's only 15 points behind Joan Mir. And, I don't know anymore.
Well, the thing is that the I think it's the most clear example. What has happened to Dovizioso last weekend is the most clear example about this championship. Because after a really, really, really bad weekend, because it was really bad weekend, he's closer to the top. So then he's closer to the top than where he was on Thursday. So that's the championship we have. So if at some point Ducati is able to fix not all of their problems, but a few of their problems, we can have Dovi fighting for the championship until last race. So... yeah, anything can happen.
Yeah, well,
I know it's an obvious thing, and I'm sorry, but I mean, what else can we say? I mean, I don't have really. I mean, even Honda has Nakagami there fighting for the title. So, okay.
Yeah, it's well. Yeah, I mean, you can't rule out anyone. There wasn't an incident with Ducati this weekend in qualifying. Dovi wasn't happy that Petrucci used him as a tow to get through to Q1. Petrucci said, well, look, Ducati dropped me, so I've got my own thing to think about. But Dovi said, well, there was no team orders, so I can understand he's frustrated at not getting through, but to be frustrated at Petrucci...
I would be even more furious than Dovi. To be honest, not against Ducati, but I mean, you can say that, okay, maybe at some point Ducati needs to put something on place, okay? But I'm not talking about that. And as Dovi said, he was not asking about setting up a strategy, but it's okay, just put the common sense on the table, okay? I am in the title fight. I'm Dovi, okay? I'm in the title fight. You, Danilo Petrucci, are not in the title fight. Okay? We're both going to be out of the team next year. Okay. And we have a really good relationship. I've been helping you quite a lot last year to try to keep up your pace, to try to increase your performance. And I giving you a toe in the first attempt, but then you can give me a toe in the second one, right? It didn't happen. That's why I think, okay, it can happen once. I'm not saying that Danilo needs to work only for Dobby, but if Dobby gives him a toe in the first attempt, I think it's legit to give the favor back.
Yeah, I get that. It's an honor thing, I suppose, you know. But at the same point, Ducati needs to lay down the law. I think they need to say, look, they should have had a plan. They knew both riders, all six Ducati riders were in Q1. Ducati should have went to them and said, look, Dovi's our title man. Got to help him get through. Yeah, you could argue Petrucci should have thought a bit better, but at the same point, if there was no team orders, then Petrucci has to sort of think about himself to an extent.
100%. 100%. So, but considering the circumstances, I agree that maybe it's an opinion. I'm not saying that Ducati should have put a strategy plan in place, but maybe, of course, it was definitely an option to say, listen, we are struggling this weekend, so we need all our focus on trying to help Dobby to get through Q2. Okay, but if didn't happen and you are in Danilo Petrucci's helmet, you can look a bit further, you know, and say, okay, this guy has helped me quite a lot and he is struggling and he's in the title fight. I mean, it's not that you don't need to be Albert Einstein to think what's, you know, what's fair. I would say I'm asking just for to be fair.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. But Ducati have a funny thing with team orders. If we remember back to 2017 with when they gave Lorenzo those orders and Lorenzo didn't follow them. And Ducati does seem to have a bit of an issue with issuing team orders definitively.
I'm really looking forward to listen to Dobby when he will definitely speak about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I asked him the other day, Dobby, do you think that Ducati is doing its best in order to help you and to support you for your title fight? And he says, yeah, 100%. They are doing their best at their way. But yeah, I made a second question, but he didn't want to give me any more detail about it.
Yeah, that's a very interesting comment. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to hearing Dovizioso's views at the end of this year. Well, it'll be the start of next year, I suppose. Let's talk about Alex Marquez because, I mean, we talked about him after Le Mans, wet race and all that was still impressive, but this whole weekend was just, you know, straight into Q2, 11th on the grid was okay, race pace, I mean, he was top eight in every single session, apart from qualifying. Race pace was strong throughout, and then the race was strong. He made a couple of mistakes with very, very small ones. He was like his brother almost. It was like, you know, the good old
no, not, Marquez. Not only like his brother. I would say, of course, I'm not comparing them because it's just a joke. But watching his race, to be honest, at some point I had, whoa, this rider is more secure than his brother. Because, you know, his brother is, I mean, for me, is maybe the best rider ever. But looking at him racing, you have the feeling that the situation is not really 100% under control. He has probably the situation under control, Mark, but you have the one looking, watching the TV, maybe has not the same feeling with Alex, even in Le Mans, but in Aragon as well, the feeling was, whoa, this guy has the situation 100% under control. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Which was really, really, a shock and surprising.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Mark, when you watch Mark on the bike, Mark scares the shit out of me because he's all action, elbows everywhere, rear looks like it's going to go away, the front looks like it's going to fold. But yeah, Alex was really smooth. And the way he got that Honda to turn was awesome. I've never seen a Honda turn like that in a long, long time. Normally, it really doesn't turn that well. So
yeah,
Alex is just really, well, he said that after the race. He said he's riding the bike like Alex. You know, he's more free on the bike. He's just... You know, it's funny because I remember a few rounds ago, I remember someone, there was a few people tweeting, a few people we used to work with, they were like, oh, Marquez, he's such a terrible rider, isn't he? And I was like, well, I think he's well and truly proved that one incorrect this weekend. But this guy's a double world champion. We knew he was talented. The Honda's a difficult bike, and yet here he is. You know,
he has turned around the bike. I mean, the bike looks completely different. I mean, looking the bike there in Aragon on Alex's hands, the bike looks completely different bike from the beginning of the championship. I mean, looking Alex turning with the bike is another story. So full credit to him and to Honda and to this rear spring and anything. I mean,
yeah, well, yeah, this rear shock that everyone kept talking about, the Honda, they've been trying it since Misano, I think. Crutchlow said it's not a miracle cure. And I agree with him, because I asked Cal about this on Sunday and I said, look, is it more the fact that it's not so much, yes, the bike's taken a step forward, but is this just more the fact that Alex is just a better rider now and he is showing that he's a world champion? He said, look, well, yeah, it's, you know, he's always been a great rider. It just, he's always ridden well. So
yeah, of course. I mean, all of them are really fast, but I mean, what we have seen from Alex last weekend is not only from a good rider, it's for a really, 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 really good rider. That's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And we are not turning, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to say the one saying like a double champion is not a good rider. I mean, no way.
Yeah.
But what we've seen from him in Aragon is not only from a good rider. It comes from a really, really outstanding one.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
100%.
It was a fantastic and enormous race from him.
Yeah. And, you know, to be in that position to put the pressure on someone with your first dry podium there, with potentially a first race win, okay, he had nothing to lose. But at the same point, it's a lot for a rider, especially a rookie, to kind of to have on their shoulders. And he handled it really well. There was that moment on the gas coming out of turn 17, which is a great video on Twitter of Mark Marquez reacting to that. And I think he had the same reaction as we did. But that moment aside, he got right back on Rins's rear tire. He didn't let him go. And that's, yeah, like you say, that is the mark of a truly great rider, to keep putting that pressure on no matter what the bike is like. And I'm so excited for this weekend because anything's possible.
Yeah, anything is possible. I was speaking with Ramon Aurin a few hours ago, and he said, listen, we need to improve. But yeah, as Alex says, I mean, improving from 13th place is much easier than improving from the second one. Mm-hmm. But that's, I mean, this has to be our goal. We are in HRC. We are in the Repsol Honda team.
Yeah.
So that's our goal. And I think that from then on, the only thing that he's missing is the qualifying.
Yeah.
Is the only thing that he's missing. And not, I mean, he says that, but again, I mean, it's normal. Don't forget that he's never described himself as an explosive rider.
Mm-hmm.
So he always has said, listen, maybe I need a bit more time than a few others to get to my maximum. But yeah, he's getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And he still has a huge margin to improve. And probably the key point is now at the moment is trying to get better on qualifying.
Yeah. Yeah, that does seem to be the only thing missing from his game now is qualifying. What I really liked about Alex was after that race, he was still like, podium. It's not regular podiums we can't be aiming for. What we have to do is top eight consistently and be more consistent and use these last races as a test for next year to be stronger next year. And that's just, I really like that because he's...
Yeah, it's his right mindset.
Yeah, he's keeping his feet on the ground and he's, it's almost like his brother was when he came into MotoGP after he won that first race in Austin. You know, he said the same things, that, oh, I can't fight for the championship, I can't win races all the time. Yeah, it's the right mindset to have, and it just shows how mature Alex is for someone that's only, 23?
I think that, I mean, he's clever enough to don't put even much pressure to his back. I mean, because he had to handle and to manage huge amount of pressure by being the brother of, mm-hmm. Despite what Mark tweeted yesterday, mm-hmm. That he said, "Hello, everybody, I'm Alex Marquez, brother." So, but I mean, he's been managing huge amount of pressure during all his career, and I think he knows what to say to just to don't add even more pressure.
Yeah, for sure. The one person I do feel sorry for is Marquez's poor dad, Julian Marquez. Yeah. Just, I can't imagine.
Yeah, but his heart is getting stronger.
Well, yeah, I suppose I can't. It'll be a tough day when both Mark and Alex are fighting for the podium together. That'll be a difficult day for him. But who knows? That might not be too far away if Alex keeps up this progression. It's such a nice result. It's just nice to see Alex doing this sort of thing. Like you say, because of all that pressure and all the bad comments people have given him over the years.
Well, I think it's a really nice story to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
In the end.
Yeah, for sure. I think on that nice note, we'll end there. Yuri, thank you ever so much for your company, as always. And thank you to the listeners for your company as well. If you like what you heard, go listen to all of our other podcasts on Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts. And if you are a Spanish speaker, Yuri has a Spanish podcast on the go now, so you can go and listen to that over on motorsport.com. We'll be back next week to discuss what will hopefully be a slightly calmer weekend, because I don't think I can take any more weekends like that. I'm done. My nerves are gone. I think I'm one more dramatic result away from a heart attack. But yeah, keep on Autosport and motorsport.com for all the reaction and all the action from this weekend. And keep looking after yourselves, and we'll be back next week.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast? You end up waiting. A lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts, and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast? Wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.